as John was telling us earlier, it may be only July, but budget speculation fills the front pages of some of this morning's newspapers. And along with the threat of further tariffs on goods from here to the US by Donald Trump, will likely form the backdrop for today's cabinet meeting. Warnings about the effect of bigger tariffs on jobs and budget giveaways from ministers. Warnings from the ESRI to an Oireachtas committee of the effects of stopping giveaways. Micheál Lehan, our political correspondent, is with us. Morning, Micheál.
Morning, Gavin.
Some nasty looking clouds over the islands this morning, Micheál, and the forecast not too pretty for ministers meeting today too. Tell us more.
No, it's a grim backdrop. I suppose the strongest evidence of that coming from the Taoiseach's contribution, where Simon Harris will tell ministers that if there were 30% tariffs imposed by the US, that it could have a significant impact on the Irish economy and lead to job losses occurring at a faster pace. Also saying that tariffs will hurt all round, and that includes the EU's countermeasures if they were introduced in the event of talks failing. There's particular concern too about the pharmaceutical industry, which I suppose is at a slightly different remove to this, but is still very much in focus for the US. That's something that the Taoiseach raised yesterday when he met with the US ambassador. So clearly concerns mounting in government about the tariffs and all that taking place as that work around things like the summer economic statement and the national development plan are pretty much close to completion now, with those two documents set to be published next week. And it is a sense that they are both going to be delivered with one key message, and that is restraint.
Do the government think Trump is serious then?
Well, I think they are preparing for all situations. There is a hope that this is a step on the road to a deal in the end, to that framework deal which would de-escalate things before August the 1st. At the same time, there is something in this that is unpredictable, especially when you consider that there was a clear feeling running through government last week that things were on track for that framework deal and that everything was going to be difficult because there would be that baked in 10% tariff anyway, but not quite in the challenging order that is possibly unfolding now.
For all the talk of caution and prudence, no signs so far that spending is being reined in. Quite the opposite.
Well, the public expenditure minister, yes, will tell his colleagues that current expenditure compared to the first 6 months of last year is up 6.5%. And there is a warning that finances have to be managed carefully to improve standards of living and to improve infrastructure and the like. But that has to be done, it seems, in a lot more cautious way. The capital spend is up 22.5% in the same period, but that probably will continue, and the National Development Plan will outline big infrastructure projects that are planned for the period ahead, and I suppose a particular focus there on delivering things like water services to allow more homes to be built. That's a big publication due next week, but it seems in the context of the summer economic statement and what's happening around those very early budget talks, you're not going to see the once-off payments. Government have been clear on that, and that position very much solidified now in recent days. So none of the gains for people in recent budgets, that will not be continued.
So all those so-called one-off measures, or three-off measures to be more accurate, they're definitely gone?
Definitely gone, although the pressure will build on government from the opposition. This is something that has been raised in the last few weeks repeatedly during leaders' questions, saying people are still feeling the effects of inflation and are struggling to cope with that. The government saying there is a challenge really when it comes to not having these one-off payments anymore, but anything from now on will be done, they say, in a sustainable way and will be permanent. The ESRI are before the Budgetary Oversight Committee today, and they talk to about the need for the public finances to be looked at and handled in a way that is restrained and targeted. They do say that the one-off measures did help people, though, paying the bills essentially, but it says their inevitable wind down or phasing out will have a knock-on effect on things like inequality and poverty unless the headline rates of welfare payments keep pace with income growth. So that's the warning from the ESRI about that challenge for government and for people as the one-off payments look to be gone.
Separately, Micheál, any developments on the race for the Oireachtas?
Well, I think today is an interesting enough day on that front, that because the nominations on the Fine Gael side are set to close at 4 o'clock, so a statement is anticipated. I think that will in all likelihood say there was just one nomination, and that would be Máire McGuinness. Probably not an official imprimatur yet from the party, but essentially the campaign would begin for her then, and she would travel around the country visiting every event throughout the summer before formal ratification later in August. An expectation too that Catherine Connolly will formally enter the field this week, so I think in many ways it is game on there.
Micheál, thank you. That's our political correspondent, Micheál Aham, with the time coming up to 25 past seven.
Now, you may see them while out on the road today, yellow and red motorbikes with the so-called blood bikers, volunteers who transport blood and other medical goods around the country. One of those blood bikers is in studio with us this morning, Michael Noonan. You're very welcome.
Good morning.
You're here to talk about a bill that is going before the Dáil for first stage debate today, tabled by Sinn Féin TD Aengus O'Shnuthig. It seeks to allow vehicles transporting blood and other medical goods to be permitted to use bus lanes and pass through tolls for free. Now, people may be surprised to hear that you can't use those bus lanes. Can you give us an idea of what exactly you transport first? Because it's more than blood.
Yeah, effectively, an ambulance will transfer a patient. Anything to do with that patient could be transferred by a bike. It could be their scans, it could be their medication, it could be any form of critical information required in that. Medical equipment, we often move stuff where people could be in theatre and they discover that they're short something and may be required to get got from another hospital in that regard. So there's quite a large amount of stuff is moved by
vehicles.
So it
could
vehicles.
Be very last minute cases.
Very last minute cases. It's not unusual to get calls where people are on the theatre and on the table, and effectively something has to be done that's moved by a bike in that regard. So the legislation that's been proposed gives specific legislation around blood bikes themselves, which would be quite beneficial. I mean, as it stands, the Gardaí have increased their high-profile policing and they've doubled their fines in the last year on the use of bus lanes. While our vehicles are marked and the Gardaí are quite good with us in that regard, we use vehicles for palliative care, which are unmarked, and that just creates delays and complications. So all it's doing is it's actually tidying up legislation that's there and putting the clarity around the use of those vehicles. I mean, in the UK, the blood bikes are regarded as the fourth emergency service after fire, police and ambulance. Legislation is already in there under Section 19. So all it's doing is recognising what they are and removing that little anomaly. I mean, effectively, we're like a little insurance policy for the HSE, whereby when a critical call comes in, we get a call. We can react instantly to their calls and deal what they want. And what we do is actually quite incredible and unknown.
Yeah, so the full-time service is in Dublin and the Midlands,
the Midlands
is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So the rest only run at night. So in terms of bus lanes, this would really only impact Dublin and the Midlands?
The biggest, all trauma comes to Dublin. So you're a neonatal patient in Cork, a newborn baby, you're shipped to the Coombe or the Rotunda or Crumlin Hospital. So all heavy movement goes on during the daytime. That's when it affects. So the bulk of this would affect vehicular movement during the daytimes, and you could lose your licence within an hour. Simple and straightforward. 3 points each time. So from that point of view, there is something there. The state gets the benefit and HSC gets the benefit from our services, so we should get some benefit.
Now, we got a statement from the Department of Transport about this. It says that the requests to extend bus lanes to motorbikes transporting blood have not been supported on the grounds that that any addition to the categories of vehicle permitted to use the lanes would inevitably reduce their efficiency for performing their original purpose. What's your response to that?
Listen, there's 6 bikes on duty during the day in Dublin. That's the bottom line. 6 vehicles moving around. But those 6 vehicles could lose their licence within half an hour. So the bottom line is very simple. The level of vehicles that are required is minimum. I mean, there's 300,000 a day go across the M50 or some figure like that. So from that point of view, would have no effect at all whatsoever. And a bike doesn't hold up traffic in a bus lane. In fact, they're quite discreet.
Okay. Michael Noonan, you finished up around 3 o'clock this morning, so we'll let you go for some much needed and well-deserved rest. Thank you so much for coming in. It is 28 minutes past seven. We'll be back in a moment with news headlines.